Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Showed up at the home of legend Don Cornelius at about 4 a.m. and a self-inflicted gunshot wound declared deceased at 99 medical center. Now, according to the Los Angeles County Assistant Chief Coroner and winner, the legend is gone, folks. On the first day of Black History Month, an African American legend is gone. And what can we say about the legend Don Cornelius? What can we say? Well, there's plenty. There's plenty that we can say. We can say a lot about the man. We can say a lot about the history. We could say a lot about his legacy. And we'll go over that. I think we should. I have to be honest with you. I cannot say that Don Cornelius in any way was influential in my life. He was probably more relevant to the generation of my mother than was of my generation. Even he had hosted Soul Train until 1993, or 91, was it? 93. And then handed it over to other hosts of the show. I think there was some guy named Maestro Kelly or something like that. I don't know what his name was. And then, that real, real pretty boy.
Shamar Moore.
That's his name. Shamar Moore.
Got to start on Young and the Restless.
Got to start on Young and the Restless. And he was also the host. It was a little corny then when he was on there. So I can't say that Don Cornelius is very relevant to my generation, even though, which would be like the 80s and 90s, you know, Soul Train was relevant.
I beg to differ.
To some people, I'm talking about me personally, JC. Hold on now.
Okay.
Give me a minute.
Well, come on, we're the same generation, though.
I understand that. You're a couple of years younger than me, but for me, I can't say that he's all that relevant.
A couple? We're talking like maybe, what, two?
I'm 43 this year.
and I'm 41.
Okay, all right. Well, all right, so fine. We're the same generation. But that being said, I'm just saying he wasn't relevant to me. He'd been relevant to a lot of others, but he wasn't very relevant to me. Well, I have proof of that. Now, I have proof. I have proof that he wasn't relevant to my
generation. Okay, well, I mean, honestly, think about it, though, Reese. Think about it. You were listening to what kind of music?
I was listening. I was heavily into hip hop at the time. Now I watched. I watched like one of the first times I ever really watched Soul Train was when Run DMC was on the show, and I have I watched a video of that today when Run DMC was on. And I thought, you know, again, when he put on acts that were, you know, that were relevant to me and my generation. That was when I watched. So heard that Run DMC was going to be on there. You heard Kumo D or LL Cool J, or maybe Grandmaster Flash or, you know, Afrika Bambaataa when those guys were on there because that was relevant to my music. You know, it was hip-hop. And so it was extremely relevant to my generation when our music was playing. So groups like Shalamar, who I only learned to respect as I got older, I can honestly say that I was a fan of that particular music. So Soul Train didn't introduce me to some of these acts that my mom was very, very, you know, cool with. You know, I saw Jody Watley, you know, when she started her solo career, she was on Soul Train. You know, Madonna was on Soul Train. You know, there was, you know, he kept it relevant, don't get me wrong. I just say that Soul Train was the place that I went to get, you know, to go learn new dance moves. And it wasn't the place for me. So I can't say that I identify solely with this. And I'm not taking anything away from Don Cornelius. He is an icon. He's iconic. He is a legend. He always will be. I'm not trying to tap on him in any particular way. I'm just saying or making a connection here and say that I can't answer Don Cornelius was relevant to me. And I know he was relevant to my generation. And I know, and I'm going to tell you how I have significant proof that he wasn't.
Well,
no.
Wait, you were a dancer.
As a dancer, but I never got my dance moves from Soul Train. I got my dance moves from the street, from experimentation, from going out there and, you know, doing moves and perfecting my moves as a pop locker and a break dancer. That's how I elevated my moves from. Now, people who wanted or who didn't have access to dancing in clubs to that kind of music could go to Soul Train to watch that, you know, watch those kind of things happen in front of their eyes when they couldn't see it in their street corners. I lived in New York. It was everywhere. Dance is everywhere in New York. But where you go,
well, you gotta remember, he introduced the world to pop locking with Fred Berry and his crew.
Absolutely.
Before he even got on
What's
Happening.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Again, but even Fred Berry is too young. I mean, he's too old. For me, Fred Berry was an older. Remember, we're talking Fred Berry's dancing in the 70s. I didn't get into, like, the real essence of enjoying music or dancing until I was much older in the late 80s, even the mid 80s. So I can't say that it was relevant. I'm not trying to take it away from Don Cornelius. It's going in the wrong direction. It's going in the wrong direction. But let me just say that I understand who he is as a legend. But I want people to remember who Don Cornelius was, because Don Cornelius was very, very relevant in music because he understood the importance of message in black music. That's what Don Cornelius was. He promoted a positive showing of black music and a positive expression of black music. And he was against anything that was the antithesis of that. And I want to take a little bit of time to talk about what I mean by what I say. My generation did not respect Don Cornelius. Now, they all go out there and talk about, oh, we miss him, he's a legend. And I saw some people online, JC, a gentleman you and I know on Facebook known as Young C. He's one of the first people I saw online today on Facebook expressing you know, respect for Don Cornelius when he passed. Now, I'm assuming, I think Young C is a little, a considerable amount of years younger than I am, but I want to express to people is, don't, now all of a sudden that he's gone, talk about his relevance and his legend and all that, when, truth be told, my generation did not respect man. So, I always do this when a legend dies and then everyone comes, you know, true form. Oh, that's so sad. It's so tragic. We're so upset we lost the legend. When you really didn't respect a man. And I'm checking out the people who are saying they're giving their condolences. And I know this generation that's giving their condolences to Don Cornelius are only jumping on the bandwagon now. When Don Cornelius was rallying for people to understand that our music was going in a negative way. When he said music, he's talking about our black music was going in a negative way. Urban music was going in a negative way. He spoke up, and he was ostracized for it. Now, see, he's going to do the same thing to Bill Cosby, God rest. You know, God forbid. But when he passes, people are going to forget about those people who shouted him down when he criticized the African-American culture for the way that they behaved and how they treated their children and the way they talked about women and how they objectified women and the misogyny. They're all going to say, oh, Bill Cosby, a legend. Oh, we miss him. Oh, remember the Cosby Show. But they'll forget about how they called him a turncoat, just like they did Don Cornelius. And I know a lot of you don't remember this.
But I vaguely remember. But
well,
I'm checking my mic because you're not that you're fading in and out,
uh-huh.
But you're skipping a little bit.
Okay. Well, I have the audio to prove my point.
Okay,
this
now, hold on, before you hit the audio.
Right.
Before you hit the audio, for me, and me personally, Don Cornelius was one of the reasons I kind of wanted to get into radio.
Okay.
He DJed on TV for kids for people to dance to. And
right.
when I say that Soul Train was a staple in my household, my father, who for some reason thought somebody wanted to one day read or hear his life story, used to take the little tape recorder,
mm-hmm.
and he'd do his own biography. An autobiography into the tape recorder. And one of the things he said he's always dreamed of doing, and it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier, that it was the generation before us
right.
That it catered to. But one of the things he always wanted to do was to be a Soul Train dancer.
A lot of people wanted to do that. I'm not going to lie. Even I wanted to be on that show. I wanted to show my talents to the world.
I never wanted to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have liked to have I'm not gonna say hosted,
right.
but spin the music. You know what I mean? As the DJ there,
right.
And I don't think they ever had a DJ on the show per se.
No,
I think until
no,
the end,
you never ever saw the guy who played the music. It was just it was all about the dancing, and I give him that because he really did show. He showed African Americans, although there was American band before. Soul Train lasted way longer, 35 years Soul Train on television. It was the longest running dance program in history. But it was, it was pretty much the genesis of it was shows like American Bandstand. Don Cornelius thought that there should be a forum for to see black people dancing and showing a part of their culture and the music that they danced to, how they expressed themselves through dance. And that's why it was important for young African Americans to see themselves on TV. So again, this is why I respect the man. But let me get back to my most important point, is that Don Cornelius, again, he was very vocal about the music.
In the direction that it was known. I remember, but... Yeah,
So Don Cornelius in the 90s came forward and spoke at a congressional subcommittee about the music. And this is what he had to say.
Records by any recording artist which are violently or sexually explicit or which promote illegal drug or firearm use or any other antisocial behavior should be clearly marked and identified as X-rated.
I'll play it one more time because I love the sound of it.
Records by any recording artist which are violently or sexually explicit or which promote illegal drug or firearm use or any other antisocial behavior should be clearly marked and identified as X-rated.
And that was his views on the music that was coming out in the early 90s. In particular, groups like NWA and those who fell afterwards. And this is how people like Ice Cube responded to Don Cornelius.
See, they always get it, black men to attack black men. You know, they used to attack us, and now they made themselves invisible. And now we attack each other because we have no love for ourselves. And when somebody like that, who's made all his money off the black community, I mean, the brothers that's doing time, they count their time on soul trains. You know, they like, how many soul trains you got till you get out? You know what I'm saying? And that's, and for him to get up there and say something like that to them wolves, you know what I'm saying? It's terrible. You know, we done put all the dollars before you got white folks on Soul Train. It wasn't nothing but Afros on there. So, you know, we done gave him all his money.
And that was Ice Cube talking about Don Cornelius and Don Cornelius' comments about the sexually explicit, violent nature of rap music in its current form during that time. And what did they say? They called him a turncoat. He done got all his money. He took money from the black community. So I don't want to hear anybody else out there talking about how they love and miss Don Cornelius. Not if you really didn't. Not if you supported the violent rhetoric that's going out there today. See, then you don't know who the man is. You didn't know that that man was one of the first people to speak out against the violent nature of rap music. You didn't know that. And you'd only know that here. Because, see, when I heard that this morning, the first thing I went after was, I said, not, I know that people didn't always respect Don Cornelius and his point of view and what he was trying to do because they didn't understand it. Also, his black man had a black show with black people on it. They didn't understand the entire creation of Soul Train and what it was about, what the deeper message was. What it was making black people mainstream. Get it? It was about making African Americans mainstream. He put that show on for 35 years so you could see black people, your people dancing as a part of the mainstream. And he was promoting a positive message. He wasn't promoting violence. He wasn't promoting hurting one of your own. He wasn't ostracizing women. And in no way was he objectifying them. So sadly, a lot of people out there are on the false pretense of talking about how much they miss Don Cornelius and how his passing is sad. And you know it's true.
Well, I mean, anybody's passing is bad, but especially in the way that they've gone down. But, I mean, he pretty much left the product a long time ago when music wouldn't make when music made the turn that he didn't want it to do. And there was really no going back.
That's why he left. I think that's why he walked away in 93. I think that's why he walked away.
And just collected a check.
Well, sure, he collected a check, but why stand there if you're going to have to put on what's considered the popular music, what he believes?
Yeah. And look what that kind of music did eventually to the award show.
Oh yeah, well I mean come on. I mean the award show is
the Soul Train Awards has become just as volatile as the Source Awards.
Hey, anybody remember where Biggie was when he died? Where Biggie was coming from when he died?
Soul Train
Music Awards.
Yeah.
It was the night of the taping of the Soul Train Music Awards when Biggie Smalls died. Notorious B.I.G.
He had just gotten on stage at the taping.
Mm-hmm.
He had just gotten on stage and was talking about ending the East Coast, West Coast beef at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he actually thanked California for giving him the love that they gave him.
Yeah.
When he was out there, despite what was going on with him and Tupac at the time.
Right. And Tupac was already gone by then, just 6 months before.
Right.
So, you know. Mary, any memories of Soul Train that you'd like to share?
Who doesn't have memories of Soul Train? I mean, I watched it all the time. But one of the things that he said, that Don Cornelius said, you know, about how anything that had a violent nature to it or sexual nature to it should be marked X-rated, I can remember a few things that was on, you know, a few groups or a few singers that were on Soul Train that music that Soul Train played that was sexually explicit. I mean, it wasn't just hip-hop that was sexually explicit. You know, the 70s, their music was sexually explicit, so I don't get that.
Did you see the kind of sexual explicitness being expressed on Soul Train? I just watched today a video of Rick James on with Don Cornelius, and Rick James was, you know, apparently under the influence of some sort. And he was trying to gaze at some girl in the stands. He was being kind of flirtatious and Don Cornelius was kind of like trying to get him to like straighten up to be professional. And he was being very rude. You have to watch it. In fact, go on YouTube and look up Rick James versus Don Cornelius. You'll see the video, and Don's got to like tell him to stand up, close your jacket. You know, it's like even Don is a little bit perturbed at the that Rick James is performing.
Exactly. But
well,
I mean,
what
Mary is talking about.
Why would he have Rick James on there in the first place? I mean, Rick James is all about sexually explicit things.
Yeah, but
it was the music of the time,
And about getting high. I mean, everything that he did was to some sexual nature.
But remember, even when James talked about it, then he would probably talk, like his concerts were very sexually explicit, but his songs were very covert. There was a lot of innuendo. Oh, sure there was. Come on.
The very first concert I had ever gone to my entire life was a Rick James concert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And I remember Rick James, yes. And I remember Rick James coming out of a spaceship and lighting a joint on stage.
Yes, that very famous concert. That was, again, those are his concerts. That's what he was. But if you listen to his songs, I mean, look at Mary Jane.
Yeah.
The song Mary Jane. Mary Jane is he's talking about marijuana, you know, but it's a double entendre when he talks about 17. That song 17. Come on, it'd be unheard of for a grown man.
Super freak. I mean,
those songs.
And I got a classic for you. I got a classic that I'm sure made it on the Soul Train. I don't have the video, but I can almost guarantee you. And it was on Soul Train. And I can almost see her up there singing it. And that would be, I'm thinking, is it Betty Wright, Tonight is the Night?
I love that song. Love
You're
going to
make me a woman?
Oh, yeah, big fan. That's
You
not...
said you'd be gentle, and I know you will. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
yeah,
her mother,
again,
and
I love
that song.
Tell me where that is in any way on the same level as the music of the 90s where N.W.A. was talking about it, the police or...
It don't matter. It don't matter.
me give a F about a bitch. I ain't a sucker. You know, you know, that music in comparison, where there's innuendo in the music of, you know, groups like Rick James and Betty and things like that.
But wait a minute, Reese. Whether there's innuendos or not, everybody knew what everybody was talking about.
Well, except for white America.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, that's true.
I mean, how?
Mary, you're not white America.
No, Mary's not white America.
Mary's
clearly.
Rye bread.
Clearly
no,
not.
No, I'm sorry. Mary's pumpernickel.
But I'm pumpernickel. Thanks.
Right. I
brown bread.
I do have to say this. A lot of people who may not know this or did not remember, and I was very happy that it wasn't reported in the news. I don't have to be a news reporter here in this case, because we always have to make sure we always tell the truth. On October 17, 2008, Don Cornelius was arrested in his Los Angeles home on Mulholland Drive on a felony domestic violence charge. He was released on bail. Cornelius appeared in court on November 14th of 2008 and was charged with spousal abuse and dissuading a witness from filing a police report. Don appeared in court on December 4th of 2008 and pleaded not guilty to spousal abuse and was banned from going anywhere near his estranged wife, Russian model Victoria Avila Cornelia, formerly known as Victoria Chapman, a Russian model, who had filed two restraining orders against him. On March 19, 2009, he changed his plea to no contest and was placed on 36 months. It's been reported that Don
Cornelius... Reese, you broke up. He was placed on what? 36 months of what?
36 months of probation.
Oh, okay.
And... it is being reported lightly and slightly in some places that Don Cornelius, who of course died this morning at 4 a.m. today, killed himself with a self-inflicted gun wound, but it was reported that it was over his ex-wife, Victoria Avila. If you log on to blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio, and you listen to the show, I've placed a picture of his estranged wife, Victoria, on there. And I got an email from our good friend, Jean Pinkham, who sent me an email, who showed me the picture. She's a very attractive woman.
she's a what?
A very attractive woman. She's a very attractive older woman. She is white, of course.
You said she was Russian.
Yeah, she's Russian. Russian boy. And there's some dark Russians.
Yeah, well, I've never seen one.
Anyway, I'm not going to tell you what Gene said, and I'll tell you guys off the air what Gene said in the email. But it was reported that it was over his ex-wife, whether or not, you know,
Gene probably said that if he couldn't get any more, that he'd probably kill himself too.
No, he didn't say that. He said something very similar. I was trying not to say anything. I was just blasting that out there. That's just sad. Anyway, it's again.
I don't want to feed into former rumor mills, but I recall. The Queen of Armenia one time, and we'll talk about it off air as well. And,
was she suggesting something about Don Cornelius' orientation?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, we clearly know that's not true.
Well, we don't know that, but...
He probably, you know, took himself out because of...
Took himself out?
Well, that's what he did. He took himself out. I mean, may he rest in peace. I'm not, you know, by no means am I, like, trying to disrespect the dead, but he probably took himself out because of all of the horrible, if he was, you know, if it was true that there was spousal abuse.
We could have found a nicer way to say it.
Well,
yes,
but that's what he did. Oh, come on. The two of you are telling me that I could have found a nicer way to say something? Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black?
Yeah, you're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What was your point?
Yeah. that he probably, he probably did what he did because he probably couldn't live with himself anymore because of all the crap that he's done, which is very sad because there's other ways to deal with those things.
True. Yeah, you know, it's sad. But again, you know, it is a loss nonetheless, even though he was not very much in the public eye. A loss is a loss. Don Cornelius passed away today, self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head the first day of
Black History Month,
yeah, of all days. Rest in peace, Don Cornelius, and, you know, I guess it's only appropriate this one for you. When we come back, we'll talk about the sugar being considered the same alcohol and cigarettes. When we return, it's Reese on the Radio. Yeah, it's Reese on the Radio.
Scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Clark.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you
think,
doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz. There's Dr. Phil. There's Dr. Drew. There's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion. But I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Resun Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's three on the radio. We're back.
Just being clear my throat there.
And I just read a report shortly. Just read a little bit of it. I was turned and Monday day researching it and even more anger more I read it. And as most people know, I was like, not think government regulation. I'm 100% against. But yeah, no matter where you go, nowadays, everything you do, power needs to be regulated by
an Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how you doing? I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock-solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's...
We apologize, folks, for the technical difficulties. It's Reese on the radio. We're back. How do I sound, guys? Does I sound any better now? Anybody?
Yeah, actually a little bit better now. It's not every third word anymore.
Anybody there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I apologize for that. My connection is it's killing me anyway. Anyway, back to the show. Apparently, there's a new report that's come out from a school in California that is completely killing me to the worst degree. According to this report, it says that sugar and are in fact so toxic to the human body that they should be regulated as strictly as alcohol by governments worldwide. And this is according to a commentary in the current issue of the Journal Nature by researchers at the University of California in good old San Francisco. And the researchers propose regulations such as taxing all foods and drinks that include added sugar, banning sales in or near schools, and placing age limits on purchases. Now, although the commentary might seem straight out of the Journal of Ideas That Will Never Ever Fly, according to the report, the researchers cite numerous studies and statistics to make their case that added sugar, or more specifically, sucrose, an even mix of glucose and fructose found in high fructose corn syrup and in table sugar made from sugar cane and sugar beets has been as detrimental to society as alcohol or tobacco. So, in essence, saying that what you're going to need to do now as a government is start pretty much putting sugar or things with added sugar on the market, something that you purchase with ID. Now, look, if you're saying that if I'm old enough to purchase sugar and I present an ID, so now I have to show you, I'm going there to buy a Twinkie. I walk in with a Twinkie. I show my identification. They allow me to have it. Where does this then end? I know what's going to happen, but let me just say it. Does that mean that a store owner can keep you from buying your sugary snacks because he thinks you're overweight? Or will the government be able to do that? If it can go so far that we can stop children from buying sugary snacks by putting, you know, this whole label on it that it's like an alcoholic beverage or it's tobacco, what happens next? If the government can regulate it that far, that it can keep a product away from consumers by putting age limits on it, requiring identification, what's next? George Will said something interesting, and for those of you who don't know George Will, a conservative commentator on the show This Week with George Stephanopoulos, he's every week on the roundtable, he asked a question about the Obama health care plan. And the question that he posed was, if the government can regulate what it is that you can eat and you can't eat and regulate whether or not or when you should get health insurance, or how you should get health insurance, can they start regulating that you go to the gym, that you join Weight Watchers? They involve themselves so much in your life that they can now mandate whether or not you join a health and fitness center. Will poor people be forced to join the Y in their local communities? And for those based upon their in bracket, will those people have to join Bally's Total Fitness or the Crunch Gyms? Or will they have to join New York, the New York Athletic Club or the Boston Athletic Club? Will they have to join these programs in order to stay fit? Will that be mandated by the government? Does it end? Sugar? Everything we have, everything that we eat, has some form of sugar in it, or at least most of what we eat. What if a mother can't get her kids to eat certain vegetables unless she sweetens them up a bit? That was the reason why my grandmother would put molasses in collard greens when we were kids, because we wouldn't eat them. So she made them sweet to take off the bitter taste, and it was the only way to get the kids to eat it. I kid you not. That's an absolute fact. So where does it end? I mean, I don't want to put anybody's personal business out there. The two of you have dieted or on diets. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
JC? Mary?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yes, it is fair to say.
Are you on diets or dieted? Can you imagine having to go through this?
I can't. I'm the whole thing was absurd. I can't. What else is the government going to regulate? I don't. You know, it's beyond anything else. What else can they regulate for us to be able to do? You can't. We're becoming a socialist country, and this is crazy. And this is why OMG, Obama must go. This is ridiculous. Are you fucking for real? I have to show you ID because I want to buy a Snickers bar. And if you think that I shouldn't be eating a Snickers bar as a 7-Eleven clerk, then you decide, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, but you've had one too many. You're over the limit. What the hell is
yes.
going
on? Yes. Yes. You are absolutely right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, it's not that we saw that with cigarettes, but somebody could do that to you with alcohol. You know, with alcohol, they could catch you at one too many.
It's crazy. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And, you know,
it's absurd.
But you know what? Again, this is the reason why I mentioned the group who put this study together, as I mentioned, is the journal called Nature by researchers at the University of California, San Francisco, is that San Francisco is also the same city.
That's also the same city. What?
Happy for crying out loud.
You're breaking up again, Reese.
I said, who attacks the Happy Meal? They attack the Happy Meal.
Oh, that's right.
You know, this is San Francisco. They attack the Happy
Meal. But it's the same. You know, it's so funny because it's the same city. San Francisco is, like, known for, like, gay brothels and things like that. They're definitely known to have, like, a pot shop on every corner. So, what? You're not regulating, you know.
Sure.
Free love and free sex. You're not regulating, you know, gay men or lesbian women or anything like that. You're not regulating. Of course, there's regulations on the sale of pot. But if you go to any doctor in California and tell them that you have a depression problem, which mostly everybody in this world can say that they do, they give you a prescription to smoke some weed. Smoke some weed, you'll feel better. My ankle's hurt. I'm on the prescription for some weed. But now you want to regulate sugar? I mean, seriously, everything on the shelves if it's not straight up in its raw form, if food is not in its raw form, like vegetables, any, you know, fruit, anything like that, it has some type of fructose, glucose, sugar. Everything has it. Rice. I mean, everything has it.
But it's an agenda.
Rice.
But it's an agenda. There's an agenda.
There is an agenda, and the agenda is this stupid Obama health care.
Totalitarianism.
It is
totalitarianism.
It's what?
Totalitarianism.
It is.
That's clearly what it is.
He's a freaking tyrant,
and
are going to vote him out.
Yeah,
It's unbelievable. Because what is next?
Well, I don't know. You're probably going to see stricter regulation on things that already has regulation. They have created a monster. I've created a monster. You think I created a monster?
JC,
you think
I
created a
monster? Created a monster?
Yeah.
He did create a monster. You know what? That I have to, and I'll give Reese credit for this on air that I've told him before. That before I started doing this show with you guys, I really wasn't, you know, much up on politics or anything like that. It really always kind of confused me. It was just too much. I was like, oh, this is too much work. I don't even want to. Okay, yeah, whatever. It sounds good. Okay, let's vote for him and he's in office and blah, blah, blah. But ever since I started doing this show with you guys, I have really been trying to educate myself and become more knowledgeable about what is going on in this country because I care about my future. I'm only, you know, I have a lot of years to go.
Oh, okay, I got you.
I have a lot of years to go, so I need to be knowledgeable. Everybody needs to be knowledgeable about this stuff if you don't want this country
to
turn into a socialist country.
Yeah, it's completely turned that way beyond a shadow of a doubt. There are going to be more and more signs that, as I like to call it, the apocalypse of government, that are going to continue to happen. What we have to do about it is, one, just get government's hands out of people's personal lives. That's what has to be done.
Yeah, but who's going to do that?
And I'm going to lose you guys again. Say again.
So who's going to do that? Who's going to, you know what I mean? How do we do that?
Folks, give us a moment. We're having some difficulties that we can work this out. We're having some serious difficulties. If you give me a moment, we'll be right back.
Please stand by. Reese on the Radio will return in a few moments. We're just handling some business in the background. But don't worry, Reese on the Radio will return in a moment. Hey, I said we'll be back. Relax. Where are you going? What, are you logging off? No, relax, okay? We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. Hey, why don't you give us a call? The number's 347-308-8701. It's Reese on the Radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. It's Reese on the radio. We're just handling some business behind the scenes. Don't fret. We'll be back. I know you miss us. It's Reese on the radio. Holler. I'm sure some of you are enjoying this music. Well, you should be. Sounds really groovy. It's Reese on the radio. And we'll be back in a moment. Stand by. Hey, we're almost back. Stand by. We're almost there. We're about to come back. I promise. We're coming back. Just stay right there. I promise. We're almost there. All right? Just stand by. It's Reese on the radio. We'll be back. We're not going anywhere. Okay, we're coming.
We're coming back. My apologies, guys. We're having a major server problem here. We are fixing it, but again, like I said, we're online, and that's what happens. Anything better on your, my end now, guys?
Sounds a lot better.
Yeah.
Okay, no. Well, I've actually just sent a request into the server to find out exactly what the problem is and to find out whether or not the connection is there, but they're gonna improve on it. Anyway, when we come back, we got more stuff to talk about. We'll take over for a couple of minutes, just figure out stuff on this end, which should be done in a second. Again, I apologize. We'll be back shortly.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" He was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He was from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like, he didn't need to talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like, some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letter. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit.
I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Steve from Newport.
You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know the black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, hello, we have got five black, hello.
Hey guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling?
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And we're back at Teresa on the radio right here, live blogtalkradio.com. The number is 347-308-8701. We're back. We've sort of fixed out some technical problems. I've got some people in the server office looking at it now. I've just actually just sent them a text. They're checking into it now anyway, but I apologize for the I hate it when this stuff happens. And I know it's me because my connection is fully up. And it's probably something on their end, but they'll figure it out. You know, again, we apologize. A couple of weeks ago, we talked here on the show about Microsoft had purchased an app. And the app that they purchased was a GPS indicator that let you know if you were going into a high crime area. Purpose of the app was to inform you that this neighborhood had muggings, murders, rapes, killings, whatever, whatever it may be, drug dealing, based upon information and data that they received. It was given to the app. So if you were driving in your car, it would tell you, you know, perhaps you know, you're a girl by yourself and you're lost. And, you know, you shouldn't drive into a certain area. You shouldn't be there. So this app was to warn you and protect you from going into those high crime areas. And the NAACP was angered by it and came out and made all of these arguments about, you know, imagine not being able to get to Martin Luther King Boulevard. Whatever. Anyway, so then I saw this story. And, you know, this is the way I see the news. Not the way the news operates. It's just the way I see the news. There is always a follow-up news story to stories like these. Yes, there is. And this story goes a little something like this. A new company says Crime Push, which is available on iTunes today, is the latest in mobile technology to provide urban populations with fast, discreet, and intelligent safety assistance. After being held at gunpoint on the streets of Washington, D.C., co-founder Cheyenne Palvani, I think this is an Indian person, I apologize for putting the name, thought of a way to conveniently help report and prevent crimes for the 21st century. The company utilizes smartphone technology to put crime reporting literally in the hands of users. After downloading the free iPhone or Android application, users can report an ongoing crime with the push of a button.
a package of information, including the location of the crime, photo, video, audio, and text description of the crime are sent to the authorities immediately. The application also allows for users to report crime anonymously so that they may continue with their busy lives knowing that with the push of a button... Sorry. I always love it when they incorporate the craziest things with the words, the push of a button. Anyway, their busy lives with the push of a button, police will know and have everything to pursue the criminal. Ordinary use become the eyes and ears of the authorities. There are often tense situations when calling the police is not an option. There are other times when inconvenience or fear of reprisal prevents one from reporting an incident. Featuring the ability to take a photo, record video, and audio to provide a description of the incident, can now be assured that their phone has the capability to alert family, friends, and the authorities, like they use this phrase, at the push of a button, should the threat arise. The assistant former district attorney in New York City, a current professor of criminal law at the University of New Hampshire School of Law, Amy Vorenberg, explains the importance of the application. She says, in today's world, everything is going to be mobile. Why not crime prevention? Now, I'll ask my intrepid crew, do you think that this is a good idea or a bad idea? And I'll take JC first on this one.
Good idea, bad idea?
Yeah. Well, actually, let's find out. What are your thoughts on the invention, on the app itself? And then
I'm kind of on a fence with it.
Okay.
It sounds like a good idea on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But to anonymously report a crime and continue on with what you're doing opens the door for a lot of false claims.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. So you're saying being on the fence again. You know.
I think that if you're going to report a crime, I mean, they're going to know who you are anyways. So every phone, especially that uses that Android or iPhone technology, like many computers, you have an IP.
That's
every
correct.
Phone has an IP address.
That's correct.
They know who's going to make that claim. But what's going to stop me from asking you, could I use your phone on a bus, report a false crime, give you back your phone, I get off the bus, and I never see you again?
Yeah, but...
Now, you're tied to the claim that was just made.
Which is true. But I don't think that anybody would ask to use someone's phone to call the authorities... Because, you know, in essence, what this app is going to do, it's not just that you push a button and say that a crime is in progress. You have to actually get something recordable, or there's something recordable in nature that you have to give. If you get my meaning? So it's not like you just push, you know, stabbing, and the police show up to a stabbing. It's not like that. You have to kind of record some kind of information. You also have to text. You have to do, you know, something in hard. JC's on the fence. Mary, how about you? Mary? Not there. Oh, we lost it again. So it's just one of those days, folks. It's one of those days. They happen ever so often where we it's one of those days we're losing.
This is just our day.
Our day, yeah. I agree with you on the thing that there's going to be some form of abuse on this. There might be. I agree with that.
Oh, no question.
There will be some abuse. Because, you know, what if, you know, this is something I noticed happened to me recently. James was had his phone in his pocket, and he accidentally, you know, called my number. Does that mean that I accidentally pushed the app and, you know, and call the police? I mean, could that possibly happen? Mary, did you get to see most of what the story was about?
Yeah, no, I heard you. I was having a technical difficulty as you asked me what my opinion was. Sorry about that. We're all having technical difficulties tonight. It's stupid. I mean, come on.
You think it's stupid?
It doesn't make for them to make an app to where you can just like text or push a button. You're in a random place and you see a criminal act going on and you can just discreetly alert the police. It's not discreetly because, like JC said, everything is recorded. There's IP addresses on everything.
Well,
they're
saying discretion involved with the actual crime being committed. In other words, there are some people who won't run and call the cops, who won't get involved. And they're definitely saying in the urban community, there's a lot of, there's a lot of resistance in the urban community from getting involved because they don't want retribution. So there are people out there who want to say something, want to do something, but can't. Because there's going to be some retribution by the offender, saying that if they see them calling the cops.
Okay, so even if you do this anonymously, right, or you supposedly do this anonymously from just this app on your phone. Now, if it comes about that there was really a crime going on, they make an arrest. You're obviously a witness. You think they're not going to track you down?
I don't think that they can. Here's why. I'm up in an apartment.
But they will. Whether they can or they can't, they will.
Not necessarily. Think about this. I'm in an apartment building. I'm on the third floor. I see two people arguing outside. They're arguing outside. I come outside. I see them arguing. I recognize one of them or somebody that I know from around the neighborhood. One of the guys in the argument decides to pull out a gun and he shoots the guy point blank range. Now, if no one else is outside, the police officers will go from house to house and ask anyone if they witnessed anything. And most people would say, "Like, I didn't see anything. This app gives you an opportunity to do the right thing, and nobody knows. You don't have to come forward. I mean, you can go to the police precinct, but no one's going to come to your house. And you can inform them of that. You can say, look, crime in progress outside, I witnessed somebody shoot another guy or stab another guy, or there's a fight going on outside, a bunch of kids are beating up on a defenseless kid. I can do that all from my phone without having to look like I'm grabbing to the phone or waving down the police or anything like that without getting involved, because they know that, the word gets out that you were the one who talked. He's like, "Man, how did we get caught?" He's like, "Miss Mary saw you, and I saw her flagging down the cops." This way, it's really, really discreet. Then somebody doesn't have to come and send a message to Miss Mary while she's going out to go, some cat food, or go pay her bills. Somebody's not running up on her, threatening her, and it's like that. She can remain anonymous. And at the same time, people can clean up their streets.
Okay, so if maybe it would work if people used it for the right reasons, but I agree with JC too. There will be, I think that there will be a lot of false claims going on. And who's to say if I'm up in the fifth floor of my building and I see Mr. and Mrs. Jones outside, arguing or whatever, and, what if I misinterpret that as a domestic dispute and then the cops come and people get wrongfully arrested? And so on and so I leave things the way they are. Just if you want to report something, pick up the phone and call 911. If you don't, then so be it. Somebody will report it at some time, the victim, the perpetrator, most likely not the perpetrator, but the victim, somebody will say something.
Yeah, but I almost feel like that you're just leaving it up to chance. I mean, this kind of gives you an upper hand. Some people get robbed, some people get attacked, and you never, ever know who it is who's done it. You never get an opportunity, you never get an opportunity to put a face or even an identity to the person who's done something to you. And I think in a lot of cases, I look at this as a deterrent. I'm looking at this from a deterrent.
Well, but with this app, you still wouldn't be able to put a face. If somebody comes up to you and robs you, from behind or they're covering their face or, something like that, or it's dark and you don't see them, you don't get a, the victim doesn't get a good look at them, and then let's say I saw it happen, I anonymously report it, then unless they, and but I saw the person, you know, I clearly saw them, unless they come back to me, they're not going to get a clear description.
Well, okay, how
so
about
then
this?
It becomes unanonymous or non-anonymous at that point.
Well, if you're sitting in your car, Mary, when you're sitting in your car and you witness a crime go down, that the perpetrator is not looking around to see who's watching. He doesn't see that you're in your car. You don't have to put a phone up to your ear. You just pull your phone out. You just press the app. You just click on to the information. You text the police what it is that you're seeing. Robbery in progress, 3rd Street and Main Ave, you know, Main Street and 3rd Avenue.
Is it really set up like that, or is it set up to be able to track where you're at?
If you
hit something on the app, it's already tracking your location, so they know.
Yes, it can do that as well. But the idea is we alert the police, that the app is there to alert the police and let the police know where the actual crime is taking place. I'm looking at it from a level of, you know, citizens get involved for the reason that they want to remain anonymous, but they never feel, like, truthfully, that they get an opportunity to be anonymous. Here's an opportunity to get the police involved and still keep your anonymity. If you see the robbery going on, or you see the act going on, you can say, you know, the robbery took place at Main Street, 3rd Avenue. Perpetrators ran down Main Street, made a right on 5th, you know, whatever. You can give that information to police, and police can scour that area and come from that direction and probably deter them or catch the person who is perpetrating crime. It's an opportunity for you to do your civic duty, and that is, and I believe it's civic duty, to step up when you see a crime happen, especially some of these really, really crime-ridden neighborhoods where people are always apprehensive about reporting a crime, but yet they want the streets to be cleaned up, you know, but afraid to step up, you know, step up to the plate.
Okay, I see the benefits of it, Reese. I understand your point, but what are the downfalls? Let's talk about that.
Well, I don't see any downside yet other than what JC brought up, and that was, you know, he said about, you know, false reporting. You know, a domestic dispute can be false reported. I don't think you're going to be able to report a false, you know, like, you're not going to get a false rape claim with this app. I mean, if you're witnessing a rape, you know, you're not going to use this app to report it. You're going to come forward.
So do you think if somebody says that if somebody uses this app and now they are a witness to murder, do you think that if they don't have any other witnesses, all they have is the dead victim on the ground and you that reported this anonymously, you think that they're not going to come back to you? Do you really honestly believe that?
Not necessarily. Here's why. Because the prosecutor would do anything and everything to protect what would be, in this case, the star witness. The star witness would be the person who witnessed the murder. And that's the star witness. You would be protected, I mean, vigorously, by a district attorney who needed you as a witness to put a guy away for murder. That's a life sentence at best. So they would do everything to protect you. They wouldn't parade you around as a witness to this murder. They would interview you. They would talk to you.
Now, coming from you, you have that much faith in the system?
Yeah, you do have trust in the system.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly believe in the system. I don't believe in I don't believe in individuals in the system. I believe in the system in and of itself. I mean, I think that if you came
but
forward,
that's the problem, Reese. There's individuals running the system. That is the problem.
That's a fair statement. But I think in a case like this, see, you're talking about a case where a murder took place. If a guy got
I'm talking about any case. I mean, any case where they're going to want to convict somebody, where somebody needs to be convicted and there were no other witnesses except for this lonely-ass schlum that hit a app on their phone, you know.
I kind of see where you're coming from, Mary, because we had a case in Connecticut years ago where the only witnesses to a murder was this woman and her 7-year-old son.
Mm.
Down in New Haven.
Okay.
I think you might remember this week because you guys reported on it back here in, I think, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Bridgeport. I'm sorry, Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that was the alleged suspect ordered a hit on the mother and the son.
Right, I do remember
and
that.
And got it.
Yeah, okay, but that was because the New Haven police did enough to protect them.
Right.
So,
you know,
so, but this is the whole point. What if some
I mean,
other
that was
police,
a star witness, though.
And
I mean,
and
they
the
killed
thing.
The mother
if,
and the 7-year-old kid.
But I don't think they did anything to protect those two. I mean, it's clear
but
that they
what
did.
If that, but what if that happens again? That's my point. I mean, even if that happened one time, even if that happened, like, or one out of ten or whatever, that's another human life that's gone or that has been, you know, destroyed or disrupted because of the individual that is trying to, you know, to run the system or that's a lack thereof, you know.
Well,
you can't put your own faith in someone else's hands, especially when it comes to the district attorney's office. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. We know that.
Well, I agree with you there, but I think, well, JC, just to ask, have the policies of the Bridgeport Police Department in dealing with those cases, has it changed since then, or is it still the same? I mean, that's even a broader question.
I'm sure they're doing things differently. Hell, it happened again in Hartford in, I believe, 2007, where... A guy was, he beat up his girlfriend, and but he had also committed a major crime in the area, and she came forth against him on that major crime, and they arrested him on it, and he made bail,
and got her again.
He took her sister, and the mother out.
That happens often. I'm not saying it's a good thing. Of course, a horrible thing, but that happens very, very often, especially issues of domestic violence. That's just something. Restraining orders do nothing in that regard, other than, you know, if you break that restraining order to some degree, and you're able to. Restraining orders work better for men than they do for women, if you get my meaning.
Right.
If a man puts a restraining order against a woman, you know, more than likely if the woman does something foolish like call the guy or show up at his doorstep, you know, then more than likely she's going to get arrested. All the guy has to do is pick up the phone and call police. She's going to get arrested for something foolish. Usually a restraining order against the guy shows up anyway, comes into the house, and his objective in that case is always violence. You know, it's dumb because a restraining order doesn't do anything. It doesn't put a fence or, you know, a 20-foot gate in front of your house. And, you know, nothing changes. Just tells the guy, look, if you confront her, if you come near her, you know, you're gonna get into trouble. So, you know, it doesn't do much. But, Mary, I mean, I agree with you on a lot of your points, Mary. Who's really going to come forward just because they have an app? They still have to deal with the post part of the whole case. If you are the primary witness or the key witness in a crime like murder or an attempted murder and stuff like that, who is really protecting you once it's made public that you are that witness, so to speak? Is that your point?
Yes, that is my point.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Anyway, all right, we'll take a break. When we come back, this is another stupid thing that I can't believe it's happening in the city that I lived in Boston. I'll give you a history about what I used to do. When I was living in Boston, one of the first stories that I tackled was the groping epidemic that was happening on the Boston train stations, or as they call them, the T rides. It's called the Boston T, which is their transit. And what was constantly going on trains were women were often being groped in crowded trains. Now, this happened in other cities as well. And it was one of the first stories that I tackled when I got to Boston
when I first started doing my show on WRKO, and I went out and talked to women about this growing epidemic that was happening out there. But now something new is happening out there. Even with all of that, it just doesn't make sense that anybody would be doing this. I can't believe that it's actually happening. So when we come back, it's Reese Radio.
By scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock-solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's on the radio. We're back. Live right here, Blog Talk Radio, 347-308-8701. This story was something that I found incredibly odd. I think this is just crazy that in this day and age that anyone would think this was a good idea. Now, we talked about this new app just a moment ago, whether or not you'd be able to report a crime if you saw something happening. But a couple of years back, in 2008, there was this huge story that was in the Boston Herald. It's the cover story, talking about how women were being harassed on the train sexually. When they were riding on the trains, on the T, as it's called, that when people were in crowded places, guys would, you know, grope women's rear ends, and they would be even bolder. They'll pretend to accidentally grab a certain part of their, you know, their body parts when they were trying to get by because it was crowded. And I went out on the street with a camera and a microphone and went out there and started talking to some people. And I'll never forget that with Daniel Hall and talked to this one young lady who worked inside one of the little markets. And, you know, I asked her whether or not she had ever experienced that. And she said it had never happened to her. Because she said, you know, somebody would look a bad one, as she put it. But she said that she had witnessed this very, you know, a young college student. And Boston's a huge college town. She saw a very, very pretty college girl who was riding on the train. And this guy had flat out took the palm of his hand and, it, you know, let's just say it wasn't in the rear. Okay? And she witnessed it, and she said that, you know, she started screaming out loud in front of everyone to not only just bring attention to him, but to embarrass him and to let everybody know, you know, that people were talking about calling the police. And she said that, you know, it's very apparent. Well, you know, sometimes people just don't understand that there are bad ideas, dumb ideas, stupid ideas, and gosh darn idiotic ones. And I'm going to ask you guys after I tell the story. And you tell me whether or not I should or I shouldn't. Apparently, a website has been created with the idea to mix flattery with your commute to work or on the train. And the company has already had, they have similar features in New York City and in London. The site asks subway riders to secretly take pictures of fellow attractive passengers and post them for comment. Now, the current pictures are all men on some of these other sites. That's because in London, New York, the sites only post men. Boston will be the first city where women's pictures are in the mix, too. Spokesperson for this site says, we ran the idea past the T, where a spokesman told us, while the MBTA, and that's the Massachusetts Boston Transit Authority, I think that's what it's called, the Mass Boston Transit Authority, I can't remember MBTA samples, does not have legal authority to restrict this effort, please know that the T doesn't endorse it. The site's founder says they will take down photos if anyone doesn't want them posted. Now, I'll ask you guys, should I even tell what the website is, or should I mean, not important to promote?
No.
I would say not important to promote it.
Yeah, don't promote
it. Not at all.
Yeah. So, again, I've been on the train. I've seen a girl who is amazing looking. It's hot. It's the summer. She's attractive. She's wearing a sundress. She's probably the most beautiful person in the world. I'm looking at her saying, wow, she is gorgeous. Now, of course, in my heart of hearts, I would love to keep that picture just to look at from time to time, but I know that I would be deemed a pervert if I did that. Okay? So, and people would
it's
look
crazy.
At you. Of course it is. And I can't believe that any site would do this at all.
Well,
and, go on.
I mean, it's like, and then for, not only is it creepy, but you're invading someone's privacy. I mean, I know you're in a public place, but you're invading someone's privacy. You know, you can't just go around snapping pictures of people because you so feel like it and throwing it up on a website, and then people can decline having their photo put on the site. Well, how the hell do you even know that somebody snapped a picture of you so that you can go on there unless you catch them?
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I know what's going to happen with this site as far as, you know, girls take pictures. I know how it's going to start off. It's going to start off very, very pleasant because I've gotten some promotions, and it's going to be like guys posting girls that they know. So it's going to go there. But then there's going to be the moment, and I know it's going to happen, and I know this is going to happen with the urban community. You're going to see one of these kids, a little bold. They'll see a hot girl walking down the street. They'll snap a photo of her or something like that. They'll post it up there. No one will ever be the wiser. I think it's an abuse. I think there'll be an abuse. And you're right. You are in a public place. But the truth is, you do have your own private space. You know, that you are allowed your own private space, your own, you know, anonymity, your own sanctity, whatever it is.
And not only that, Reef,
mm-hmm.
Not only that, but you have the right to you have the intellectual copyright to your own image.
That's correct. Absolutely. But I don't know why this site would want to promote that anyway. I mean, with the, okay, I'm sure you guys have heard of the term upskirting, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, that's a very serious issue.
That's a form of voyeurism.
Yes, it is. And I'm trying to figure out why anybody would say, you know, for when I think that it's going to be damaging, I think that this is a form of sexual assault.
Harassment?
Oh, yeah, and of course I believe it's sexual harassment, without a doubt.
But, you know, they're not going to make any noise about it until someone is either raped or killed or stalked.
Well, I hope it doesn't get that bad.
You got some sick people out there. We have some pretty sick people out there. I think that, to a degree, this has started as pretty much like an opposite to what people, I mean, it's been a fad over the last year or so. To put ratchetness on the web, like people that dress crazy, or people that are wearing things that they have no business wearing, like a big woman in spandex,
right?
On a train, stuffing her face
already,
with.
I did that at Starbucks the other day.
You did
what?
<that?
laughs> I said people already do that. Posted on anything, but I saw this chick. She was very big, and she had on like a mini skirt with some fishnet stockings.
Ooh.
And like 7-inch pumps. And I was like, "What the hell is that?"
A big girl in fishnets and 7-inch pumps.
But tight mini skirt. I was like, "What is going on? Who told
you?" You snapped the picture.
Did you snap a picture, Harry? She's being awfully silent. Did you snap a picture, Mary?
Yes, I snapped a picture.
And what did
and
you
intend? Is it going to end up on? Is it going to end up on hotdamnmess.com?
No, it's not. I thought about putting it on Facebook and saying, "Whoa." I decided not to because I know that if that happened to me and, you know, someone recognized me or something like that, I would be extremely offended and upset, and that is an invasion of her privacy. I mean, you can dress whatever way you want to, but I did snap a photo, but I didn't do anything with it.
Big woman in fishnets.
It was a sight to see.
A chubby chaser's dream.
And like she had forget.
A baby beluga caught in a tuna net. That's what comes to mind.
Oh my god, JP, you are on a roll.
Anyway, that sounds a little sick. So, yes, I saw the site, and I saw it, and I just said to myself, it sounds like the sickest thing I've ever heard in my entire life for obvious reasons. It just seemed like something that, now, I don't know about the men's site. That's not here. Apparently, this site is supposed to launch on Thursday. No, sorry, it launched today. What are they saying here? Oh, my apologies. It's already launched. Okay, well, when we call, I will check out this site. It's
already launched. You know what the sad part is?
What's that?
The fact that a guy would find his picture up there would feed into his ego. Look what you got. And that's why that site will go nowhere.
Well, that was probably the reason why they never done it with women before, because if they did it with men, if they did it with women first, then it would automatically be deemed as sexist. So they did it with men first in order to do what? To deflate that issue and to deflate that argument. And, you know, that's clearly the reason why anybody would do it, because they were saying, you know, we've had this site up for months, I mean, for years, with men and in New York, and the men don't seem to mind. Why would the women be upset? And, you know, then, of course, it totally defeats the issue, you know, and the argument is all, at that point, it's almost moot for them. You know, they'll make some argument that, well, you know, it's a different thing, and women are, you know, objectified, and, you know, and they'll say men don't think being objectified. So that'd be their argument. I don't know exactly what the case will be, but, you know, I'm going to check out the website now to see what it looks like to find out exactly whether or not any women have actually gone up on the site.
Well, they actually, they had launched something like that, like this, in D.C. quite some time ago. I heard something on the news, or I read something somewhere about, you know, if you find someone attractive and you ride with them on the train or whatever, it's a good way to try to hook up. If you don't want to say anything to them, you know, right then and there, you can snap a picture of them, put it on this website. Like, it was almost like like these, you know, chance encounters. If you were at Wawa and you saw somebody that you might be interested in, you know, you can snap a photo of them and then put it on this website, or you don't even necessarily have to snap a photo. You can, you know, put a description like at 6:00 p.m. you were, you know, girl with the blonde hair and blue jeans and red shirt, you know, with a dimple, was at the Wawa counter buying a pack of cigarettes. I don't know, whatever. But they're doing that for, like, dating sites.
Yeah, but I saw that back in the day. In my 20s, they used to do that to, what was the name of the paper?
Oh, they used to, yeah, they used
I'm
to
almost
put ads
certain
in the paper.
It was the Village of Foot.
Or the Advocate.
Yeah, they used to put ads in the paper.
Yeah,
like,
that you would put.
You know,
in the back of the paper,
that.
I
the coffee shop, and I didn't want to say anything to you, or I see you every day, every morning at 8 o'clock getting, you know, a frappuccino.
Missed encounters.
Yeah, there you go, missed encounters. Right. Not chance encounters.
Missed encounters is what it was called?
You do a description. It's one thing when you just do a description of someone or you put, you know, just a little blog about somebody. But it's another thing when you're snapping photos of people and putting that, you know, on these websites that are probably internationally, you know, looked at. What if somebody's in the witness protection program, you know? What happens then? Or what if you're, I mean, I'm serious. I'm for real. What happens then? Then
you're absolutely right. If you're in witness protection, you have no business on the Boston Tee.
No, people in witness protection still, I mean, they are staying in witness protection for the rest of their life. A lot of people do, and they, you know, adopt these new identities but can't necessarily have any kind of facial, you know, alterations or anything like that. And you could potentially be one of those people that are your mugshot is put on here, and, oh, you ride the A-train. I ride the A-train with you every day into Far Rockaway or, you know, whatever.
At 8 o'clock
in the morning.
I just looked at the site briefly. So far, I don't see any women. The only thing I'm seeing on the site are men. That's all I'm seeing on the men. They're all white men. So far, every man I've seen is somewhere between his mid to late 20s. Not that they're not attractive. They're good-looking men. But it's white men that I'm seeing on there. I've not seen anybody posting women on there yet. So, and I just saw the front page. I saw like 3-4 guys. You know, so you're not going to see much. You know, I think, to be honest, when I looked at it, it looked like some European-styled website that could possibly pass for a modeling magazine like American Apparel, if you've ever seen their ads.
Well, what is the purpose of the website anyway? Is it because, you know,
it's to introduce
people to? You know, to get people to start talking to one another?
It's the same thing you guys were talking about with those other, you know, missed encounter stuff. It's the premise of the site is to show somebody that you make, like having a crush on somebody. And,
okay, so you ride the train with them every day, or you saw them, what kind of person can't just go up to somebody and say, excuse me?
Right,
but see, they're not doing that. Well, then those people are antisocial, and those are the wrong people to be snapping photos of folks.
No. See, then it gets worse because they don't just put their picture up there to say, hey, you know, this is a cute guy or a cute girl that I saw on the train, and I wish I could have met them or talked to them. No. They've gone so far as to have you post the photo, and the people who go onto the website can rate the picture.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Of course it is. It's absolutely asinine.
Now what are you going there and you see your ex? You guys had a nasty breakup.
Yeah, I mean, what if you go on there and you see your own picture and somebody gave you a 2 out of 5?
When clearly you're a 6.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You know, this is, again...
And then, well, something will happen when that happens. It's almost like, you know, bullying on the website. You know, somebody, you know, gives you all these low marks or whatever or makes comments about you, and then you go and shoot yourself.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, I'm serious. The people, little girls have killed themselves because of, you know, Facebook bullying and crap like that. So it could happen.
I agree with you. This could turn into one of those situations like the young girl from Staten Island we talked about. It turned into a Rachel Crow, you know, where she has a complete breakdown. You know, because she loses her ex. It could happen.
Anything could happen. And it's setting things up for bad things to happen. I don't see anything good coming out of it.
I don't either. I agree with you there. I don't see anything good coming out either.
Maybe you get that. Maybe you get that one out of 1,000 or one out of 1,500 may, you know, be like, oh, this was a missed encounter, and you know, we fall in love and we're gonna get married. Maybe, I don't know. Or you hook up and have casual sex. I don't know.
JC, have you gone to the site yet?
No.
I said, have you gone to the site yet?
No. Okay. Where do I find it?
Should I? Hold on. I have to send this.
And are these guys that are on the site, are they even attractive?
No, I'm being completely honest. The guys are looking. At least the three, four guys that I saw, some good looking guys. Some are good looking. I mean, you're not into white men, though, are you, dude?
No.
Okay, so you're probably not going to find these guys attractive.
No, I mean, I can say, yes, okay, this guy is attractive if he's Caucasian, but I 9 times out of 10 won't date one.
Oh, no, I believe you. I'm just saying that I don't think that this is, I don't think it'll be your cup of tea is what I'm saying.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and they're, again, like I said, they're good-looking guys. I mean, you know, you're into guys or, you know, it's whatever, but... You know, and I'm manly enough and comfortable with my sexuality enough to say that these guys are attractive. I don't want anybody weirded out by that. I'd say that a guy is attractive. But, you know,
You should be able to say that.
Yeah, I'm comfortable enough. JC, did you get it?
No, where do I find it? I'm not catching it.
You're not what?
Did you send it to me on our Facebook?
Yeah, I sent it to you on Skype just now.
Oh, on Skype.
Okay, hold on. I'll send it to you on Facebook.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize my Skype was loaded.
No, I don't think it is. But, no, I mean, I'm more worried about the women in this case who are going to be subjected to this who don't know. I would hope that only women who knew that they were going to be put on were put on. If you get my meaning. Like, if you want to be put on and a guy tells you, he's like, hey, can I put you on such and such website? And you know, the girl says yes, you know, fine.
Yeah, but if you can go that far to say, hey, can I take your picture because you're beautiful and I want to put you on this website, then you can say, hey, my name's Tom. What's your name? Oh, Jill. Jill, would you like to go out for cocktails this evening? What time will you be? Oh, let's exchange phone numbers. I mean, hello?
Yeah, I think, honestly, what's going to happen is that this is going to be an... I think men are going to rally against this, and I can see it happening, because somebody is going to abuse the whole idea, and they're going to
They're probably already abusing it.
Well, I know... There are going to be some people in the urban community that's going to get a couple of these girls with the big booties, a smile, you know, and, you know, they're going to snap pictures of them and put them on the website and all that other stuff. There's going to be an abuse because I think this gives guys sort of an opportunity to objectify women in the worst way.
It definitely does.
So, you know, did you see the site, JC?
I'm on it right now.
Okay, are there any women posted so far?
I don't see any women up there yet, no.
Pardon?
No, I really said, do I see any women up there?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
So, that's what I saw. I saw only guys. I only got to the first page. I didn't even get to the second page. But I doubt women are going to allow themselves to be up there. I'm just
a three rating at 53 votes.
Pardon?
A three rating and 53 votes.
But who? Okay, so guys, who do you think put the guys' pictures up? Do you think it was the guys themselves, or do you think women actually took the photo?
Probably. I agree with you there, Mary. I think I think the guys put pictures of themselves up. And try to get an ego boost. Now, how's the rating go, JC? Is it 1 to 5 or 1 to 10? Like, how's it rated?
I'm trying to read through it right now.
Oh, okay.
Let's see how it's how it works. Get in touch.
What happened to just going out and meeting people on a social level? I mean, it's like everything they keep coming up with on the internet, and every, you know, it's like you don't even have to leave your house to get a date.
You know what? It's funny that you mentioned that, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I hadn't thought about it until you just said it. Have you ever heard of this thing called, like, iLife? Is anybody familiar with that? It's a site called iLife?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know if this is a particular thing, but what it is people live in a virtual world. You can pretend to be whomever it is you want, get your own character. It's like the Sims game.
I have heard of it. I've heard of
you're
something,
Second
you know,
Life?
Similar to...
Second Life. That's it. Second Life.
Yeah,
Second
that's
Life.
What. That's where Robin met her current husband.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not.
Now, hold on. Now,
my old roommates met online like that. I mean, they're married and they have two kids, and I don't know how happy they are, but, you know, well, no, I won't get into that on the radio, but, I mean, they met online.
But, oh, no, I will. I will, though.
Second, JC, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, Second Life is you can create your character to look any way that you want. You know, you create your character. You go
virtual dating.
Right. You go through a virtual world. You find a partner. You have sex and all of that through the virtual world.
They smoke weed.
And hold on. You can go to nightclubs and you pay with digital money or electronic money, but it's real money that you put in
they
your
use account. A dry in order to gain entrance to the nightclub.
Exactly. So you are
to watch these little characters dance.
Exactly.
It's called Second Life.
It's Second Life. That's what I knew. Yes. I like was the site they called on Law and Order. That's why I said I like. But
it's funny that you bring up Law and Order, because I was just gonna say I've seen so many of like CSI or Law and Order or so many of those, you know, those crime shows that
reference that site.
That they reference that platform.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what I heard about it, I'm just going, you're right, Mary, because they've created this virtual world where now we don't go out and meet each other and greet each other. I go to places and meet people and say, hey, how you doing? And they look at me like I've got three heads.
Exactly. And then we want to turn this country, you know, we want to regulate sugar and we want to regulate, you know, everything else. Well, this is why people are fat. This is why people are overweight. This is why we have the medical problems in this country that we have, because you morons are creating all of this other stuff that is, you know, allowing people to not have to get out and try and be social.
Well, we're probably one of the only countries in the world.
Why we have all this, you know, this continuous sociopathic behavior? Because you have now. You know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Listen.
Oh, my God.
It's a Japanese
way. You've isolated yourself from the rest of, from mainstream society, so of course you're going to become psychopathic.
No. It started in the 70s, and this is a way for the Japanese to get back at us for World War II when they started making the push-button remote for the TV.
Yeah,
you no longer have to get up and turn your TV.
I'm never ever going to agree with that. You're out of your mind.
I'm out of my mind. We're the only country in the world where you could drive to, go through a drive thru and get your macchiato, voulez-vous coucher avec moi, grande, and not have to get out of your car to get it. A cup of coffee?
Look, yes, we are a
listen. They have listen in Maryland. They have drive-through funeral homes.
I swear to you, I kid you not.
A drive-through funeral home.
But yep, and I'm gonna say it again. That's where my ex, Robin, R-O-B-I-N, make sure the name is spelled correctly. That's where she met her current husband.
Why do you have to put Robin on blast like that?
Yeah,
I mean, come on, Robin, I got your back. Boo, I got your back.
No,
why
no,
do you
no,
have
no.
Like
J- J- JC, put her on blast, man. Check your life, man.
She's at home listening on the headphones.
I know she's at home listening, and that's why I'm saying, Robin, I got your back. Don't worry about
it.
Well,
her husband's playing Xbox.
Let me just make sure I get this right. So Robin met her current husband on Second Life and is now living her current life with him. My question would be to Robin is, seriously, since you now live together and are married, are you guys still on Second Life? That's my question. That's even bigger question.
You know what? You know what's crazy? I'm surprised she's even allowed near the computer. Because you lose them the way you get them.
That's exactly how it happens every time. Take a break. We'll be back. Top of the hour. It's coming up. It's Reese on the radio.
What are you prepared to do? Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do? If you open the ball on these people, you must be prepared to go all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I don't know how to get him.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. Now, do you want to do that? Are you ready to do that?
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Harry has a little man. It's freezing by the snow. And everywhere that Harry went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
That we remember, ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Don Cornelius, who wrote a Soul Train, and this funky little number right here, Soul Train theme.
Hey, I got a question for you.
What's up?
Did you guys have your own lyric to that song?
No, did you?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, then we gotta start it over. Come on, JC, you didn't tell me you had lyrics to the Soul Train song.
Yeah, to the theme of the Soul Train song, yeah.
Please, are you serious? Now, do you remember it?
Yeah.
You?
Oh, Mary got disconnected. Oh, wow.
Oh, no, we're going
to... But no, I sang it to her. I sang it to her already.
Did you? Okay,
yes.
Then I've got to hear it. Let's start it over. I'm sorry. All right.
It was just a chorus.
Okay, that's fine. Do I have to wait till the build?
No, start the chorus.
Yeah, okay. Hold on.
Hey. Here we go. Soul train. Get up off your ass and do your own damn thing. Soul train.
Do your own damn thing. it's funny because that was kind of a thing that I used to do with the X-Files. I wish I had the audio for that.
X-Files?
Yeah, the X-Files music. I made up my own lyric to the X-Files because I hated the fact that it didn't have lyrics, and I like theme songs with lyrics. And Soul Train, I thought was cool. But they had girls would sing, just sing Soul Train, Soul Train. The horns would play, and then they'd come back and go Soul Train, Soul Train, and that was it. So.
Oh no, we added the rest in there.
Anyway, so as we said, 4 o'clock this morning, it was apparent that Don Cornelius, the creator of Soul Train, died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. The Daily News reported it today. It was a gunshot wound to the face. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. Wow. 75 years old.
Yeah, like I said, the Daily News, when I sat reported, I had heard gunshot wound to the head. I heard that. And, you always think the traditional thing when you're thinking guy putting a gun to his temple, blow his brains out, you sort of think that. But then I looked at it, the news online, and it says Don Cornelius hit from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the face. I said, what? And I was like, and I didn't know whether or not that had actually happened. Mary, did you hear any reports that it was a gunshot wound to the face by Don Cornelius?
You and I talked about that earlier. You saw that.
Yeah, I saw that. I just, when I saw face, I went, wow. I mean, that's like, literally looking down the barrel of the weapon.
That's close casket.
Yeah, that's
close casket.
Which is, again, in and of itself, it's just, very, very sad that he passed. And, we talked about that. I wanted to bring up some other things that actually came up in the news, which I found was amazing. Anybody here familiar with who is the director of the two highest grossing films of all time?
Yeah.
Mary? Okay.
Now,
JC, and that is?
Don't have to say his name. I can take the movies.
You don't remember his name?
I don't remember his name. Peter.
Oh, no, it's not Peter Jackson.
No, what did he direct?
Avatar and the Titanic.
Well, that's what I thought it was.
That's James Cameron.
James Cameron, okay.
James Cameron is in the news, ladies and gentlemen, because he has decided to move to New Zealand.
And I don't blame him.
You don't blame him?
No.
Really?
You've seen the movie Babe. New Zealand is beautiful.
Well, did I see his what?
You've seen the movie Babe with the little pig?
Are you kidding me? No, I never saw that movie.
New Zealand is absolutely beautiful. The whole island looks like the Sound of Music, and I know you love that.
Yes, I do love the Sound of Music. I'm not going to dispute that New Zealand is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. It's got a lot of very, very rich tradition, of course, with, I saw a movie about New Zealand, and it's one of my favorite movies, and I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. It's called Muriel's Wedding. New Zealand. Toni Collette is in it. I love her. I know New Zealand, but my question is, why is he moving out of the United States? Buddy, forget
because this country is going to hell in a handbasket.
Obama. Say it, Mary.
I said this country is going to hell in a handbasket.
A.K.A.
Do
Obama.
Do I have to say anything else? Do I have to say OMG again?
You're partially right. The reason why I believe, personally, that he's leaving is because guys like James Cameron, just like guys like Michael Moore, they hate the state of this country. But he's got a very, very different point of view, James Cameron. James Cameron hates this country because guys like him are considered the 1% in this country. And he knows he's going to take one of the hardest hits because of the money that he makes. Titanic is about to be re-released on 3D. The movie made $1 billion. Avatar, come on, that thing made $1 billion just on its first run. The guy is probably one of the most successful filmmakers of all time, with the exception of George Lucas, and a host of a small amount of others, of Martin Scorsese out there, just to name a few. I don't think of anybody else that actually tops the guys on the list. The bottom line is that he knows he's going to take the hard hit because his movies make millions and billions of dollars. What's he going to start doing? He's going to start making movies in countries, don't cost him more money, and he's going to start making movies and collecting his cash where he doesn't have to pay a large amount of taxes. How's he going to be a billionaire in America? He's going to tax, and that's the reason why he's leaving. But the question is who's next? Which other actor? Hey, didn't Johnny Depp, he moved to France. He got out of America. I mean, we can't even keep Angelina and Jolie and Brad Pitt in the country.
Who wants them?
Yeah, I don't want them either.
Well, we don't need Americans in this country anymore because we're always getting visas signed, so we have enough foreigners coming into this country to make up for the Americans that are going to move out, and then you can pay them minimum wage.
They're giving away the farm as it is.
Didn't Sean Penn just turn, didn't he become the ambassador of Haiti or something?
Oh, my God. What?
Sean Penn.
No, look this up, JC. I swear to God. Look this up. Please.
Yeah,
I did hear that. I think he's the ambassador of Haiti. They shot at Wyclef Jean, a native of Haiti. They shot Wyclef Jean. But they made the white man the ambassador of Haiti. I can't believe it. White Clem Jean got shot in the hand while he was trying to run for president. But they hate the white man the ambassador in their country. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it.
Ooh,
and that
ooh,
all
ooh.
White men.
Oh, yeah, all white men. What
I mean,
that?
Hello.
What does it say?
I'll wait.
Okay, so it's not about Penn?
Yeah, everything's fine.
No, is it about Sean Penn?
No.
Oh, okay. No, I'm saying look up, hold on, I gotta find this thing.
I heard that, though, I did hear that.
I saw that and I just completely lost it. I said, no way Sean Penn is the ambassador to Haiti. But, again, this is the state of our union. This is the state of our world. Hold on, I think I got it. I have to look it up. And why would they even think of doing that? I mean, they found out that Bay Doc was spending millions of dollars while he was in exile. He was spending Haitian money when he couldn't even go back to the country.
5 hours ago, NBC said, NBC Bay Area, Haiti named Sean Penn as ambassador.
They did.
5 hours ago.
I can't believe it.
12 hours ago.
Yep, named ambassador to Haiti. Yeah,
does he even speak
Creole? This in the Washington Post.
Well, hell,
he
was the ambassador to New Orleans for a while.
Good question.
Ambassador to New Orleans for a while.
Oh, that's right. He was out.
That's why Haiti wanted him in, because they said if he could deal with what happened in New Orleans, he can deal with what's going on here.
No, but you know what? It's funny because part of the reason why that happened was that while all that, after the earthquake that happened in Haiti, when Sean Penn was out there, he was criticizing Wyclef Jean because they said he was poverty pimping. Sean Penn, to paraphrase, he was calling him a poverty pimp. Because you see these people out here suffering, he said, and Wyclef Jean is driving through a broken city in an Escalade motorcade, standing on the top of roofs while these people are trying to praise it. They don't know any better. You know, how are you going to drive through these poor neighborhoods with your SUVs? It's insensitive. And Sean Penn he spoke out, and sure enough, those people responded to why he had to be in hiding, ran him out of town. You can't go back to Haiti. Now he's under investigation for that Haiti Foundation. misappropriating funds to the tune of millions.
Last time I'd hide out in a Dominican
finding
Republic.
Out the offices of Yates. Right next door?
Does Sean Penn speak Creole?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm sure he speaks a little bit of Creole. He's kind of worldly. Or at least pretends to be.
Most ugly people are.
Most ugly people are.
That was kind of cruel, dude.
Look at Sean Penn.
He was a better.
I would think that the three of us were kind of worldly.
Not that worldly. Do you speak Creole?
No, I don't speak foreign languages.
Creole, but I speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
not everybody cares.
I'm trying to overlook that.
Okay, we all have our faults.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a sign of intelligence. It's something that I was born with. Come on.
Learning Spanish is a form of intelligence?
No, not learning Spanish. I'm saying whenever you have the ability to learn to speak another language as well as I can speak, read, and write it, it's a sign of, it came as a gift. I mean, if you heard me speak it, if you didn't see me, you wouldn't even know I was white.
I must be hideous.
What?
I said, that must be hideous because I watch the Spanish novelas and understand them.
Really? I watch them just for the pure. Well, I'll admit, the only reason why
Spanish.
Please tell me. Tell me if you know.
Because of the women and the skimpiness in them.
The women, they just become hot. They wear nothing on those shows.
Almost nothing. My favorite actor from the Spanish television network is Thalia, married to Tommy Mottola.
Yeah, that's right.
She took Tommy Mottola from Mariah Carey.
Yep.
And she was also the star of my favorite soap opera, Maria la del Barrio.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I speak French too, but I mastered that in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. That's the only thing I damn near passed in high school with French. Hell, I did French poetry. I won out of the city of Hartford. Then I went out of the state of Connecticut. Went on to the Nationals, which happened to be in New York City that following year. That year, but the year before, if I had won the year before, I would have gone out to California. I did a French poem called L'Escargot par Robert Nanon. Well, I ace French.
Boo-boo,
do you want a doggy biscuit?
But, you know... I hate French. Go ahead.
Not to change the subject, but I dozed off last night, as most people do. I woke up around 3:30, 4 o'clock this morning, because I'm usually up at that hour, and the Breakfast Club was on.
What?
The Breakfast Club.
Oh, I'm surprised to see that.
It was on this
morning. Well, it's one of those.
I had no idea.
We were just talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was so excited. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this and see what it is I can get out of it. And I fell back to sleep. But I did
you know,
find out
that... It's funny you were talking...
What's that?
No, I'm saying that, you know, the fact that you said that it was... what was the term you just... You said Clarence Beeks was in it. Who's Clarence Beeks?
You don't know who Clarence Beeks is?
Did you not hear me?
In Trading Places. He was the guy that was... that set up... Dan Aykroyd, and he had the
yes, come on, are
the
you
frozen
kidding me? Yes,
he's the principal.
Yes, no, he's the dean. He's the dean of students.
Oh, okay, all I know is you're giving some guy a punishment every night.
He's the one giving their detention. Yes, he's the dean of students. That's right.
Oh, okay. Someone gave us
an email that says that...
I think you're breaking up.
Somebody was talking about... Oh, sorry. Someone was saying Don Cornelius, saying that Don Cornelius is trying to mainstream. He was competing and answering to Dick Clark's American Bands. Another email says, yeah, you could also say he's a catalyst for young white girls going to get some chocolate. In reference to Don. Yes, you could also say that Don King was the catalyst for young white girls going to get some chocolate.
Don King or Don
Cornelius? Oh,
Newsflash.
Don Cornelius.
Yeah, Don Cornelius. Yeah, but if I'm not mistaken, Soul Train beat American Bandstand.
Did it?
In the ratings.
You're probably right. You know, American Bandstand was very relevant in the 50s and the 60s, you know, whatever era that was, the 60s pretty much. I mean, it wasn't very popular in 70s era. The dance hits came in the 70s, and they were primarily sort of like disco hits. You know?
Right.
A very, very different, you know, genre music. American Bandstand was much more top 40. It's got a good beat and you can dance to it. You know, that was the mantra. I wish I'd saw those emails earlier, but, but back to the whole point about the Sean Penn thing. But, you know, this is another clear example of why more and more people are getting involved globally, because they don't want to be involved with America anymore. It's sickening. It's sad. It's true. And, you know, I have no respect for it. You know, stay in your country, man. You even if you don't the way the things are, you got to stay here to root for your country. You got to stay here and you got to stick through the fight like the rest of us. More people are told that they can't stay here anymore. No one's going to want to come here, but no one's going to want to stay here.
Well,
that's the problem.
Would it be wise to become a citizen of New Zealand and a resident here in the United States?
Yeah, he's probably going to have to do that because he's actually going to have to go to Hollywood premieres. But as we played here on the show, George Lucas said it best. That filmmakers today, 60% of their money, 60% of their revenue comes from overseas. And you know why that is. It's because, Americans, one, aren't going to the movies anymore, and two, the bootleg market completely destroyed a lot of movie making. So guys, James Cameron and actors and actresses, they don't want to live here anymore. They're sick in this place. And not only that, they're well received in these other countries. I mean, have you ever seen these commercials they do in China?
You have United States stars doing like shaving commercials and
the commercials
over in China, over across seas
for soft drinks and stuff like that. They would never ever do soft drink commercials for Pepsi or Coca Cola here. You got to like a rap star or an R&B singer to do stuff for Pepsi. But out there, you know, the latest energy drink, you got Brad Pitt. They're plugging that stuff. You'd never see that here.
Sorry to change the subject for a little bit, but speaking of Brad Pitt, did anybody hear that Newt Gingrich said something?
I was nobody would bring that up.
What?
What about Newt the Fruit?
Newt the Fruit said that, supposedly, because I don't know, this is hearsay, that he said that if anybody ever made a movie about his life, the best person to play him would be Brad Pitt.
Who wouldn't want Brad Pitt to play him?
No, that would not be the best person to play Newt Gingrich. Come on, he doesn't even... come on.
Oh, you know what? I've got a better question. I just realized something. You just reminded me of something that I posted on Facebook. It's a good thing you asked. Let's take a break real quick. We'll come back. I've got a great question that applies to Don Cornelius. And I want you guys to think about this while we go. Just tell me, who should play the role of Don Cornelius if and when Hollywood decides to make a film about his life? Because you know they will. When we come back, that's on the radio.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it.
Hi, this is
Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force.
As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And we're back. It's Reese on the Radio Live here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. Back. Anyway, we were going all over the place in the last break. Because of this whole thing with actors moving out of the country. Sayonara. I was going to say the B word. Peace out. That's what I always say. Well, the country now. It's stupid. They say, okay. Well, I actually thought that about with
Boston position, your mic.
Backing up. Okay, I'm good now. I was thinking about this all day today as soon as I heard about the passing of Don Cornelius. And I wasn't trying to be morbid or anything, but I was thinking that generally, you know, Hollywood, they jump right on that. The scripts start coming in. You know, Hollywood, you know, they need an original idea. You know, hey, there's never been a movie about Soul Train. You know, maybe we should do a biopic. We did Ray. Look how well that did. You know, we didn't care about Ray when he was alive enough to want to do a movie about him when he was alive. So when he was dead, then we could make a movie about him and then win an Academy Award. Yeah, you know, it's the usual. So somebody like Don Cornelius, I think that you do a movie about his life because, of course, it's epic. Everything that's happened to him, you know, it hasn't had a lot of controversy except for the, you know, the domestic violence with his ex-wife, the Russian girl. And, you know, you can make, you know, heads or tails of whether or not that's Hollywood or can make anything Hollywood out of that, you know, whatever. The other side of that is whether or not you do make a movie, who do you cast in the role of Don Cornelius? And I have the perfect guy. And I think that the only thing he's missing, although he does have it, he's missing the voice. But it's not like he can't because this guy does have a deep voice. And there's only another guy that I can think who can play him because he's got a very distinct deep voice as an actor. But his face is wrong. So there's a guy who's got the face of Don Cornelius, and then there's a guy who's got a voice that could be Don Cornelius. So here are the actors that I pick, and then I'll get from the guys first. Maybe I should go last. And it's whether or not you've got any ideas.
You go first.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I'll go first. Okay. The perfect person who looks like Don King, who's got the face that you could put in an afro and would look like him beautifully. No makeup.
I put the initials up.
Huh?
I put my initials up.
You put your initials up?
I put up the initials for my actor.
No, that's not who I was thinking. I don't even know who that is. But the actor who played Don Cornelius is a guy who hasn't gotten any recognition. And this would be the movie that would take him to the stratosphere if he did an Academy Award winning performance. And that's Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters. The actor who can do
what did you say?
Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters.
No.
What are you talking about? Ernie Hudson looks just like Don Cornelius.
No.
No. How could he not? But wait a minute.
Speaking of Ernie Hudson, I think one of the earliest roles he's probably taken in his career was on The Dukes of Hazzard. I saw him on The Dukes of Hazzard the other day.
Oh, yeah. Ernie Hudson was on The Dukes of Hazzard. I remember that well. Yeah, Ernie Hudson, if you put him in an afro, he looks just like Don Cornelius.
Might have the look.
Yes, but now the voice, he doesn't have. Although he has a deep voice, it's a high-tone deep voice. But the guy who's got the deep voice that I think should voice leftovers? Keith David.
Who?
Keith David. Anybody here see something about Mary?
Yes.
Cameron Diaz's a black stepfather.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very, very deep voice, very commanding. He does commercials. That's Keith David. So his voice, he could be great Don King, but Ernie Hudson looks just like him. Now, who do you
did
have?
Now, Keith David, did you say he played, was he the one in Waiting to Exhale? Played the president in 24?
No. Now, that's a good actor. That's the guy from the Allstate commercial.
Allstate commercial, right.
That's the guy from the Allstate commercial.
That would be a good guy to play Don Cornelius.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, he's all right. I like him. And he's got a distinct voice, too. That would take into consideration. He's a pretty good actor,
see,
too.
My pick doesn't have the voice.
But he's got the
look. He's got the face.
Okay.
And with an afro, he'll work. And, you know, I think he might even be able to put the voice on.
Please, tell me who. I'm wondering who these initials are.
Jaleel White.
Really? Urkel?
Yes.
Urkel?
Yes.
You know what? Okay, but you know what? You're right about the look.
You look at 70s Don Cornelius.
Yes, you're looking at the nose. Yes, you're absolutely right. The nose, Don Cornelius has a very, very profound nose. But see, Lil White's got to put on weight for that role.
Well, he is a little thicker now that he's older. I mean, you're thinking about Urkel himself.
No, I've seen him as of late.
He turned into a handsome young man.
Yeah, he's got the only thing. Well, you know why you got it right? Because he's got those big, bulky, sleepy eyes like Don Cornelius has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got that ORF's thing going on in the eye socket.
Yeah.
You know, and Don Cornelius kind of had that look, too. The only problem
Even behind
I have,
the glasses.
Yeah, the only problem I have with that is that, unfortunately, Jaleel White is too light.
Right.
He would have to darken up for the role. Dare I say, put on blackface. So
Jaleel
I mean,
White with Michael Clark Duncan's voice.
Yeah, I think Clark Duncan's a bit much.
I said voice.
No, I'm talking about, that's what I meant, voice. I think his voice is a bit much. I love Keith David's voice. His voice is perfect.
But the guy from the Allstate commercials.
He's also perfect voice. Also perfect voice.
And the color.
Yes. You know, definitely color. See, you've got to do Don Cornelius in stages. Like, he's got to progressively get older. Because Don Cornelius is not very attractive in the face. You know, he's kind of awkward looking.
He's not ever attractive in any era.
he's not the most handsome. He's got that very long, profound, big nose kind of look. You know, like I said, the eyes are, you know, that's, you know. You're right about Jaleel White, though. I think you nailed it with him as far as the look goes. You're going to have to make him look old, though, if he plays the entire role. And that might be a breakout role for him, though. But I'd like to see that happen. I would like to see who they cast, because I don't think any of the guys like from Red Tails, you couldn't pull it off, could he?
Nah. Cuba Gooding Jr. couldn't pull off Cuba Gooding Sr. Everybody plays a fool sometimes. No.
Oh, Lord.
I remember the first time I saw Cuba Gooding Jr., and it was at a music video, set. In fact, you can see the music video. I'm at the last 4 seconds of the music video, You can see me in a, I'm a tall guy in a full red outfit, wearing a red shirt and red pants. It's a song called Skeezer by Jackie McGee. Do you know who Jackie McGee is, JC? You got to know who she is.
Of course.
Yeah, Jackie McGee had a song called Skeezer, and I'm in that music video, and I'm in the last scene of that music video when the two kids try it in the nightclub. There's a guy wearing all red, all tall, my head shaving on the side, and I got dread coming out the top, and that's me in that video called Skeezer. And I finally found it on YouTube a couple of months ago.
Oh, I have to look that up. Please
did
send me
know,
a link.
You didn't know her, did you?
Jackie McGee?
Yeah.
No. I never met her before. In fact, this was the second music video I'd ever worked on. It was just...
Okay.
Jackie
McGee is from Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. She's estranged.
Is she estranged? I always wondered that, JC.
She's estranged from the... Listen, she's estranged from the family. And she called herself... Well, it went from Jackie to Jachi.
Oh, did
it? Because she changed her name to J-A-C-C-I.
Right.
And she also went and took over with the Brand New Heavies.
That's correct. I do remember that. And she, of course, sang that song, Make Last Forever, with Keith Sweat.
That's
and,
right.
Know, She had a moderate career, but she had...
That's a second cousin.
Is that his second cousin?
My second cousin.
Oh, that's your second cousin. Okay, I was wondering. Okay. Because every time I hear the name and I talk about it, I always wonder whether or not... You know, I always ask, so God, I got the same last name. You don't really want to assume that people are, you know, related. But Jackie McGee...
There's not too many of us that spell that last name with an H.
That's correct. That was also the reason why I thought about it, JC, because I was wondering whether or not you two were related, because the spelling was absolutely so spot on.
Yeah, she's from Friends in Hartford. She won't.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't admit it. She's really estranged. Well, I'm not going to get into it, but we'll talk off the air about it.
Yeah,
you put Robin. You put Robin on blast. You might as well put her on blast.
Robin.
Well, that's family. Robin's not family.
Robin is family too. She's your kid's mother.
Huh? Don't be by injection.
Robin, if you're listening, I'm going to hurt him for you.
Anyway, point being, so Jackie McGee's first video, Skeezer, as a soloist, produced by Herbie Lovebug from Salt and Pepper fame. I met him, and he's also rapping in the song. So the song is called Skeezer. If you watch the whole music video, watch it till the end, and at the end of the song, end of the song, that's me walking to the nightclub. And, in fact, one of the little kids in the end of the video is the reason I'm on that video shoot. He actually got me on board to be in that music video. So,
We're talking about your music video career, what other videos were you in?
we don't talk much about all the other ones.
Oh, come on.
This is Don Cornelius this time. This isn't my time. We're talking about the
movie. How come nobody said Denzel Washington could play Don Cornelius? I bet you he would want
No, not another him. No, don't want him playing. No.
I bet you Don Cornelius wouldn't mind if Denzel was playing his role.
I bet he would love
that. What?
I bet he would too.
Just like Newt Gingrich would love Brad Pitt playing him.
Hey, who was the babe in a blue dress?
Which one?
Walking to the club in front of you.
Oh yes, beautiful. They hand picked it. So you fast forwarded to the scene, right?
Yeah.
Did you tell how skinny he was?
I see a bummy Eddie with the two kids behind him.
Yeah, and those two kids, the dark-skinned kid, you'll recognize one of those short, young black kids in that. He's the one with the kind of, he has the kind of bug eyes I was talking about that Jaleel White has, very dark-skinned.
Yeah.
You'll recognize him from the Choice Is Yours video by Black Sheep. And he was, of course, when they do the crowd scene in The Choice Is Yours on the rooftop, that short little young man is in the Choice Is Yours video, and a friend of mine knew him, and he got
were
me.
You in a, were you in a club dancing as well?
I'm in a club dancing in all red. I'm in
you
the whole.
One in all red.
Yeah, we shot that 12 hours.
Oh, I cannot wait
you
to see this video.
You dropping it like it's hot.
I was going off in that music video.
You dropped it like it was
video
hot.
Whore you. You know, there's no video vixen.
I must have been off of it like it was hot. Let's just say I was really, really busting a move, hint, hint, in that video.
Oh, funny that you say that.
No, I'm not.
Funny that you use that term, bust a move.
Yes, I was busting a move.
Get up anyway. Off of your behind and do your own darn thing.
So anyway,
that's none of the country music.
So anyway, so I'm just saying my whole point was that Don King deserves a movie. I don't think they should wait.
Stop saying Don King. It's Don Cornelius.
I didn't say Don King. Don Cornelius.
You got Don King on the brain.
Only in America.
Only in America. Don Cornelius deserves a movie. He clearly deserves a movie. I think that it should happen within the next 3 years. I don't want them to rush it.
You know what, honey,
don't want Spike Lee on no parts of it.
Oh, he's going to want every part of it.
I watched this intervention show about this chick was like hooked on crack. She loved it. I mean, she loves crack. She's all about crack.
Uh-huh.
And, she was actually one of the star dancers, you know, like one of the main dancers in on Soul Train.
And you know,
I wonder if they'll ask her to be in the movie.
No, don't think so. I would like to see what happened to some of those dancers who, and you know, and if they moved on. A lot of people, you know, it's funny. You guys know who Debbie Mazar is, right?
Who?
Debbie Mazar?
Yeah.
No. Come on. You got to know who Debbie Mazar is.
No.
She's in... Okay, so do you remember... Okay, she's been in Spike Lee's a lot. She's got... she's an Italian girl. She's got very, very light eyes. Pretty. She's kind of like a, you know, she's got kind of like an Italian kind of accent. She used to be Madonna's best friend. She's in that TV show Entourage.
No, but go on.
You gotta look her up. Anyway, she started her career as a dancer and B-girl on that hip-hop version of Soul Train, which was called Body Rock. You know, there are a lot of people in the beginning, you know, in careers who start on these quote-unquote music dance shows. I'd love to see if there were any, you know, celebrities that came out of the Soul Train cast. I don't know if there were any.
Hello, Shalimar?
Well, I know Jody Watley was a dancer on the show.
Jeffrey Daniels.
Jeffrey Daniels was a dancer there, too?
Yeah, Jeffrey Daniels was taught Michael Jackson the electric song, I mean, the moonwalk.
That's right. They talked about that.
Guess
today
who just
news.
Sent me a request in Sims?
Somebody
on
said
Facebook. No.
Ooh.
In Sims. That's how she started with Second Life. She started with Sims first.
Robin.
And then she graduated to Second Life.
She probably sent you a request in Sims so she could beat you up.
No, I just got a Sims request.
From whom?
Paul Del Vecchio.
Wait a minute, I know that name.
I know you do.
Why do I know that name?
I get tired of cursing his little friend out online all the time. So he's telling me to delete myself, because he don't know how to delete me.
So who's Paul Del Vecchio?
Paul Del Vecchio is Paulie D from Jersey Shore.
No.
Yeah. In fact, hold on. Let me copy my screen. Take a picture of my screen. I'll send it to you.
Oh, that's hilarious. Paulie D is... That is insane. I can't even mention some of the people who are now following me on Twitter because you wouldn't know any of them. I cannot believe somebody. Oh my God. I cannot believe you guys are like bringing up all the other information. Did anybody hear that Snooki was pregnant?
She's pregnant.
And I'll bring it up the next time I curse her out online.
Did you hear this? Snooki is pregnant.
Whose baby is it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even care. I'm just stunned that somebody get her pregnant.
One of my colleagues at work is going to be very upset that somebody got his future wife pregnant. I have a colleague at work that absolutely adores her and loves her. I think she's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
We ought to be joking, right?
I'll admit.
No.
He's
a good-looking kid, too.
I thought she was cute for maybe about a weekend. And she opened
I didn't think she was cute for maybe about an hour.
No, I thought she was cute because, you know, she seemed like somebody you could fit in your pocket. When I say cute, not sexy.
Yeah.
Not like somebody I wanted to bed. She was not. I thought she was cute for about two to 3 days.
She but was like she, a little troll doll that you could put in your pocket and pull out and blow her hair around and swing her around and then put her back in your pocket.
Absolutely.
True story. When she first got on Facebook, I was one of her friends. And that she got on at one point when Facebook had changed the layout.
Uh-huh.
And she couldn't get used to the layout. So I messaged her. And I'm walking her through it. And she cocked an attitude with me.
That's so typical.
So I let her have it.
She was probably drinking.
And she told me, do me a favor, delete me. I said, no, you delete me, damn it.
Speaking of Facebook,
I still get her updates.
Speaking of Facebook, did anybody see that Facebook officially applied for their IPO today?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I knew it was going to happen. There's no way in the world that company couldn't. They did it
you
at the wrong...
You know that they made like $3.7, was it billion or million dollars? It had to be million.
Had to be billion.
It's $1
million. Well, they made $3.7 billion, or $3.1 billion in 2011 versus $1.1 billion in 2010.
Well, look how much they charge for advertising.
Well, I don't know how much they charge for advertising, JC. I don't advertise on there.
They charge you $3 per click.
That's crazy. Why do we keep going back into this music?
I want to get up your soul train line to do the body. I'm just saying.
Rich, why are you so ruthless just putting the music on any time?
Rich?
That's so typical that would happen to me, isn't it? Right at the end of the show.
I'm like, why is
everybody here?
Yeah, we're here. Okay.
So
now,
yeah, but anyway, it's the end of the show. We got about 7 minutes left. I'm going to actually check with the IT people and find out what it is that's going on with the server because all of my connections are up and I just literally got cut off. But we'll figure it out.
Saying,
we'll see you guys.
Can we get a Soul Train line to view the body?
A Soul Train line what?
To view the body at the funeral.
What? That would be hot.
That would be
hot. I couldn't hear you. Can we get a Soul Train line for what?
To view the body at the funeral.
Oh, oh,
could you imagine what that funeral is going to be like? That funeral. I'm telling you, anybody who's of African American culture, if you're half American, half African American culture, the Mariah Careys, the George Michaels who had Blue Eyed Soul, the Justin Timberlakes, they're all going to be at this funeral. That's the funeral to go to. That's
yeah, they are
going to
get that.
They're not
going to get that funeral if I had an invitation.
Yeah, you're right, but they're definitely not going to. They're definitely not going to do a Soul Train line.
That would be
improper.
Why would it be improper?
I mean, that was his life.
Let's go.
We'll
see you guys. I'm not going to do it at his funeral. You guys are sick.
Why not?
Let's just go. We are all over the place today.
You can drop it while it's hot right when you get to the casket.
Yeah, and your red suit. Hey, party over here. Ain't nothing over there.
Send Mary the link. We'll put the link on ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can look at me shaking.
The original video whore.
Shaking yourself like a red hot candy.
Oh, you should have seen them.
Oh, I'm going to see it.
You got a better shimmy than Sug Avery.
Are we out?
I don't know that we're out.
I think he's out.
Yeah, he left. Well, anyways, guys, this is Reese on the radio. What is our telephone number?
Our telephone number is 347-308-8701.
Right, 374-308-8701.
No, it's not 374. Let me, JC, it's 347-308-8701. Reese on the radio.
Okay, and yeah, I guess we're going to sign out of here for Reese on the radio. Of course, this is JC, and that's...
And this is Mary, why you bugging?
Yeah, Mary, why you bugging? Me and her, we're going to definitely have to have a conversation backstage. I'm looking for our exit music. I can't find it. I don't know where he puts things now. Oh, here it is. And anyways, guys, we'll catch you tomorrow. Same time.
Tomorrow for Therapy Thursdays.
All right, Therapy Thursdays. I'm sure Reese is going to have something bananas as usual. So until then, folks, we love you. And hopefully we'll get Robin on the phone.
Yeah, I hope she does call in after the debacle today about her.
Good night, Mary.
So, Robin, again, 347-308-8701.